Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, October 22nd, 2018. I'm Kevin Larame. Dwayne Mullins is on the line as well. Dwayne, good morning.
Good morning, and a real quick public service announcement. If you're a Toronto area or an Ontario listener, get out and vote in the municipal elections today. They are the most important elections. They actually deal with your life more than the other two levels. They're just not as sexy, but
yeah,
go and educate yourself and get out and vote today.
You have less candidates than you used to, too, right? Let's not get into Dogford politics,
yeah.
But yeah, 25 councillors will be elected today instead of 47. And now let's talk about Major League Soccer. It was the first of two decision days, so I guess decision days, and it was quite fun. A game in Montreal, Montreal 2, Toronto 0, but I was doing a lot of scoreboard watching, Dwayne, and for once, Orlando won a game. They haven't won in 13.
You were scoreboard watching. I was riding that Ferris wheel and going to Old Montreal. And oh yeah, that game. I better go to that too. Had a lovely dinner down in Old Montreal too. It was a little Italian place right down there. But it's beautiful. But nonetheless, oh yeah, the game. Yeah, no, it's Orlando. Good for them. And really, it set this up for the final week. Otherwise, I mean, MLS is probably happy with this. I suppose they could market the teams are playing for position. But,
yeah.
But by and large, right now, this is not much of a battle for the red line. Just Montreal versus Columbus. In the East, and in the West, you have LA or RSL. RSL having finished their schedule, now the only team to have done so. LA, basically, if there is win and in situation for them, and I can almost see the gold pom-poms at MLS headquarters right now for that. But
let's go, Zlatan, get into the playoff. Oh, wow.
Exactly. And of course, that does mean, and we'll just hang our head for a moment and have a moment of silence for
the Whitecaps.
2018 Vancouver Whitecaps. I will
moment's
remember
over.
You.
Yes, I'm Sarah McLachlan in the background for the Whitecaps. Yeah. Well, that means that Montreal will play the winner. The Canadian Championship next year will be different, but at least Montreal will get not an MLS opponent at the beginning of the MLS teams round, so whichever round that is.
Well, it depends on how they seed it, because sometimes they seed it the defending champion gets the first seed, so that would be TFC.
Okay.
But yes, if it's seeded based on MLS performances, they would be the highest, but I think it's going to be a new format anyway.
Yeah, but usually it's in the Canadian Championship, it has been with the MLS record. So Montreal is a new TFC facing Ottawa or the equivalent next year. So that'll be interesting.
If Ottawa's in the competition,
yes.
That's a conversation for another day.
That's why I said, or it's equivalent. But let's start with this one. Let's start with Montreal-Toronto. Nacho Piatti, 2 goals. There was 1 goal. You who hate VAR, you saw it twice in the same game. that was fascinating. And it's Toledo, too, right? Toledo, the first one was an offside. Americo gets the ball from Piatti. Americo's just a bit offside. He hits a good shot, hard straight shot towards Bono. Bono saves it. Funny, point blank, shoots again. Bono saves it again, and then it hits off Mavinga, goes into the net, but it was called offside, and it was called back with VAR because of Amerqua's position. The other one, it's 0-0, and you have Piatti in the box battling with Mavinga again, I think. And Mavinga's pulling on Piatti's shirt. Piatti does fall really easily. And it's one phrase that you mentioned sometimes. It's not because the guy simulated that he means there was not a foul to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And his jersey is actually pulled in the box. He falls really easily. Toledo's like, no, get up. And then he touches his ear. The VAR guy's like, you might want to look at the video review because there's a quite clear and obvious jersey pull. And he gives the penalty, and it's 1-0 Montreal. Piatti with a second goal later on in the game. But yeah, Montreal with a lifeline, winning 2-0 and having a chance. So you're saying there's a chance of making the playoffs.
There is. I mean, you're relying on Minnesota. We're going to preview these games, both the Columbus-Minnesota game, obviously Montreal's final game, and the LA game next week. We'll do a lot of focus on this in the days ahead, and I apologize. There's a wind blower outside my window right now, so if you hear that, that's what it is. But anyway, yes, in terms of the VAR, I don't like them anyway. And actually, it was Zavalletta that gave up the penalty because he'd only been just subbed on.
Yes, that's true. It was like his first action of the game. And yeah, it was a penalty.
And there's a lot of people, and because Zavalletta famously is Greg Vanney's nephew, so there's a lot of people that are sick of the what they would call nepotism at this point. But I'm a little
nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism. There you go. It was the correct call in the first one. I don't necessarily agree with the second call in the sense that I'm old school when it comes to that stuff, and maybe we don't need to call it that pedantically, but whatever. The law is the law, and et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think the game would have been losing anything had it not been called. I was interested in the first conversation. I decided to move around a little bit in the stadium. I watched the first half beside the UMO2 with stealthily. I bought an Expos hat, and the person I was with was wearing a blue wig, and we were Toronto fans inside in the heart of the enemy, so to speak, and they didn't really agree with the call around where I was. I don't speak good French, but I don't think was very nice.
Words that rhymes with Aflac and that starts with T's. Yeah.
Well, some of the words I did understand, but they were English.
it rhymes with puck, but starts with an S. F. Or F, exactly. Depends.
It was, and actually the funny thing is too about that is because I was looked on my phone and I saw a video, so I knew it was going to get called back like about 3 minutes before it did. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Okay. Just, but barely though. He's barely offside, but yes. it's VAR. Last regular season game at Satsuputo and VAR. It was like, it brought tension. I'm not going to lie. Like both times, like I had to read where I am on the press box. I have the French radio right behind me. So Jeremy Filosa and Arcadio Marcuzzi, and they were going ape, you know what, saying, oh, the tension, oh, it's palpable, oh, drama at Satsuputo, going to video review. It kind of was fun, I'm not going to lie.
Yes. Look, part of the reason I moved around a bit is A, because the game didn't mean a lot from a TFC perspective, so I didn't feel the need to evaluate what they were doing very much. I knew you'd be watching carefully from the Impact perspective. I wanted to kind of feel what the vibe was in Montreal. So and you're right, there was first off, I do think that there was a greater desire to put the foot to TFC's throat because of a lot of factors that we have talked about at length for a lot of years. But also,
right?
I think the informed fan knew that the playoffs indeed needed the win. So there was a tension in the stadium for sure, and that was good. And even my travel partner, who's not a real sports fan, but will humor me with this stuff, felt the same way. So, yeah.
She's like, fine, I'll go with you. Just don't explain to me everything. I get it.
Yeah, I explained the offside rule and stopped halfway through. Because first off, I didn't want to be that guy. And second off, I could see the eyes starting to glaze over a little bit. So there you go.
You could see the eyes starting to look away. Like, oh, man, I lost her. I'm like, so the offside is.
Yes. Talking about the variations and nuance of it. No, but yeah, for sure. It was a fun time. I enjoyed I enjoyed the weekend a lot. I enjoyed Montreal when I go. Haven't been as much this time this year. I think it's only the second time I've been this year. But the game itself and Saputo and the atmosphere, and maybe it's my Canadian in me. I like it when it's a little cooler like that. It kind of reminds me of the tension.
This reminded me of MLS Cup in 2016. Okay, it wasn't like minus something, but it was like 1 degrees at some point. And I was like, yeah, thank God I brought my I'm actually equipped. Brought my toque, brought my my gloves, my winter coat, and I was actually okay.
Yeah, so I bought this beautiful vintage 1970s hockey jacket in a store on Saint Laurent. So I'm now, it has in puffy letters on the side of my shirt. It says I'm Francois, and okay, I wear number four.
Frank.
So there you go.
Hey, Frank. Frank number four. Yeah. Good.
Exactly. In the 70s, so he obviously was a Bobby Orr fan, whoever he was.
Back to this game, and Piatti scored 2 goals. Piatti was the spark plug from the Montreal's Impact offense. He was, at one point, one of the greatest players of the game. Is the Samuel Piet pass to Piatti all alone, streaking. People are like, is he offside? How is he all alone like this? And then he tried to be a bit too cute, and Bono made the save. But wow, what a performance by Piet. Dwayne, before we get into the nitty-gritty of Montreal and their last few months of play, Samuel Piette has played almost every single minute in this season. The one player in the league with the most amount of minutes. He only missed 80 minutes so far since the beginning of March in Major League Soccer play. This is quite an impressive season for Samuel Piette, and we see his importance for Montreal. Stepping up, intercepting balls, restarting the attack, restarting the quick counter-attack, and being a player that's very solid in defensive midfield.
Yeah, look, and it always, every time I see Piette in the flesh, and I've seen him play quite a bit since the time he was 17, so he's a player that I'm familiar with a great deal. I'm always struck by how his body type. He doesn't really have a soccer body type, and I think maybe that's part of the durability. He's a stronger guy. He's a thicker guy, right? And maybe tree that trunk, is, explains like, a little bit to it.
Yeah, his legs are like tree trunks, but go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and even like his chest and that, like his body type. I mean, if he played in England, they would sing "Who Ate All the Pies" to him because he's a big guy, but he's not fat, obviously.
He's a bit pudgy, but he's still like muscly. It's not fat. He's just like, he's thick bones. My grandma would say he's got big bones.
Big bones, yeah, husky. They used to call it husky. He's a husky kid. There you go. But no, he's obviously a big athlete, and I think that actually plays a role in terms of his ability to stay healthy. Then again, I say this, and I'm thinking of Jozy Altidore, who, of course, has been shut down again, and he's the biggest body I've ever seen play the sport.
He might be too big. Like, your muscle can be too big to actually put stress on ligaments. But going back to Piette, his soccer IQ. And this has been developed in Europe for clubs like Fortuna Dusseldorf, for Deportivo La Coruña, and other clubs in Europe where his soccer IQ and defensive midfield, when he knows he needs to step up to intercept the ball, to stop the ball, to make a foul because it needs to be done to stop the onslaught of a numbers game where 3 out of 2 starts, he really is impressing me all season long. Yeah, sometimes he has dips, and he was tired a bit this season, and he got a bit of a rest. A few games he was subbed off, but that's the only times he actually missed. But he has been, for me, maybe Montreal's best player. Not best offensive player. Of course, Piatti with 16 goals this season. Ali Silva with a resurgence from dud to stud, we were talking about in the press box. His beginning of the season was meh for Ali Silva, then he became a stud. But Piette might have been the most consistent player for Montreal the entire season.
Yeah, well, you need those guys. I mean, look, I think that if you're from Montreal, I'm going to compare him to Michael Bradley just in the sense that he's a player that not everyone completely understands, I think, in terms of his value. But when you see him week in, week out, you start to get the value, right? And it's the same with Bradley. Bradley obviously has a higher profile, so it's not quite an apples-to-apples comparison, but they play a similar role. It's a Thibaut Hutchinson too, right? Like these are guys that are absolutely vital for what they do for their team. And it's not a sexy role. It's not a glamorous role. But in the modern game, that midfield general is vital, and it's not, you know, there's no tens anymore, right? There's six. The six is the new 10, and you cannot underestimate how important that is. It's just that the 10 used to, you know, dribble through 12 people and
give it to the forward,
be Maradona. That doesn't exist anymore, but there's a hybrid. The false nine with the true six is the modern game, and that's it's a valuable player, and thank God from a Canadian perspective, for an impact perspective, obviously, but from a national team perspective, that he's around and is going to be able to slide into a Atiba spot when Atiba rolls away.
I was going to say, we saw Atiba last week in the game versus Dominica, where it got really physical for Atiba, and John Herdman was sure to mention it after the game. He's like, Atiba had a rough evening, not because of his play, but because they were roughing him up, and that will be Piette in the next few years, taking over that mantle. And that's quite good for Quebec soccer, Canadian soccer as a whole. And Samuel Piette is the heir apparent to Patrice Bernier as best professional player coming out of the province of Quebec so far. And it's gonna be a good time for Samuel Piette. Now, Dwayne, I was mentioning that, yes, this victory was important. Montreal needed this victory, but they needed as well help from maybe divine intervention. And maybe this might be the only explanation why Orlando won a game, too. A divine intervention. But there was two games that we needed to follow for Montreal to still be alive in the playoff race after this one. Montreal needed to win. Check. Then you needed either a DC draw or a DC loss or a Columbus Crew loss or a draw. But even a draw would have put Montreal into a difficult territory. DC destroyed. NYCFC. After 20 minutes, it was 2-0, and Rooney had a goal and an assist, and Acosta made one of the nicest plays I've seen all season. So I'm like, yeah, DC's going to the playoff. It's over. We knew it was going to happen, but still. And I was looking at the Columbus game, and it was 1-0 Columbus. Great goal by Pipa Higuain on a free kick. And I'm like, yep, it's going to be over. Montreal even is going to win today. They're going to be eliminated from the playoffs. And Orlando gets a penalty kick, and it's 1-1. Okay, Montreal's got a lifeline. Columbus needs to lose again next week, and we're in. And then another penalty for Orlando at the 96th minute. Orlando scores. Orlando wins 2-1. First game, first win in 13 game. And it's like it was June, I think, or something. Anyways, maybe August. Who cares? Orlando wins. And now Montreal needs a win next week against New England. It's going to be tough. It's in New England. But they need a win against New England. And then they need a Columbus Crew loss or a draw against Minnesota. So two possible favorable results. And Montreal's in the playoffs, Dwayne.
Yeah, and look, depending on how things shuffle out in that final week, we were talking off air about how NYCFC has the worst record since August 1st of all the playoff teams. So, you know, NYCFC manages to get a draw, which is all they need to assure third place. And Montreal squeaks in, then hell, I could see Montreal winning that, right? So yeah. It's not all it turned around very quickly in the space of about 20 minutes from looking like everything was done in Montreal. Because when did they get the penalty? The first penalty was
late first half. Something like
okay.
that. Late first half.
But anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, in that scenario, either beginning of the second half.
Yeah, at any rate. So there was a point in that game where it was a tied and they'd had the VAR decision go against them. That maybe if you're an Impact fan, you look at the scorecard, you look at DC winning, you look at Columbus winning, you look at the fact that they haven't been able to break down, you know, playing out the string Toronto, that you might have thought all hope was done. But then quickly, in about an hour, you turn from that to the point where, you know, you do need something from Minnesota next week, and that's the question.
Yeah, but you know, they're due. That's the thing. Sometimes teams are due for a result, and look, Columbus will have pressure, and that's a good point that I was asking Evan Bush after the game. We'll hear that on my friend's show in the next few days. Like, Evan Bush, how do you approach a game like this when you know it's all on the line? Are you maybe nervous? And he said no for nervous, but he said you're cautious at the beginning of a game like this because you don't want to concede the bad goal that actually really puts you in trouble. And I think that's what was going to happen to Columbus next week. Columbus, the pressure was going to be on Columbus. Montreal needs to win no matter what, right? So you need to win, and then it's out of your hands. So there's only so much you can do. But for Columbus, they're going to be cautious. What if, like, Darwin Quintero gets open and scores, and you're like, oh, damn. Now we're really fighting from behind. And that's the cautious aspect could be key for Montreal there.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Columbus, and I think back, you talk about playing cautious and sort of not be willing to be aggressive. I think of their playoffs last year, it's a similar situation, right, where they actually, for long stretches in that TFC series, maybe deserved the win, but they just couldn't break through. And then I look at their stats for this year, both the fact that they're struggling right now, and then you look at their goals for, by far, the least amount of goals scored by any team currently above the red line. That tells me that this is a team that, if they are a little bit nervous, they can be 0-0 late. And the later that goes 0-0, the later that stays scoreless, or God forbid Minnesota gets ahead, if you're a team that can't can't look in the bench and go, or look in the forward lines and go, there, we score a lot of goals, then you could get behind pretty quick. If you start pushing, there's some team that's set up for it, right? I mean, obviously they have good defensive record. That's why they're still in the mix. But yeah, 40 goals scored. They're -3, and they're above the red line, so only 43 allowed. But that's a tough slog. As we said many times, you know, the old defense wins championships is a load of bunk.
It's the amount of goals.
Not in MLS, it doesn't.
It's goal scores, yeah.
How you can score.
Yeah. Before we move on to the Western Conference, just a little stat. You mentioned how NYCFC has been struggling since August. Here's Montreal's record since the end of June. 11-5-4. 5-2-1 since Amerikwa, Azira, and Sanya joined the team. This is a different team than the team that lost, what, 6 or something in their first 8 games at the beginning of the season. This team, if this continues, and just, I call it the Remy Gard effect, I call it the mayonnaise need a bit of time before it sticks together. And look, 11-5-4, and those losses were against DC on the road, were against NYCFC on the road. You had Atlanta at home. Atlanta could beat anyone anywhere. So 11-5-4 since June for Montreal. It's a pretty good record. Pretty decent second half of the season. That's the only reason why they're still there.
No, well, they're in the playoffs if they start even 500. If they even start 333, you know what I mean? Like, they were the worst team in the league in March in many ways. And
April. Yeah, March, since, April. Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, worst, you could debate it one way or the other. They were in the bottom third for sure, right? And they turned it around remarkably from that, and it has to be promising for next year, especially since it seems to, you know, he's had a year under his belt and he's got the players he wants, and he's going to have another offseason to build this a little bit. I mean, no one thinks Montreal's going to win the MLS Cup from sixth place if they manage to squeak in, but it's certainly a promising year. And, you know, who would have thought 12 months ago that we'd be talking about, of the three Canadian MLS teams, the one that you might be most excited for 2019 is Montreal.
It was Toronto.
Might have some more.
Yeah, well, we thought Toronto was going to be there, but yeah, exactly. And Vancouver thought it was going to be, but no. All right, let's move to the Western Conference before we finish the show, Dwayne. The only real battle left in the Western Conference is Real Salt Lake and the Galaxy. Real Salt Lake having finished their calendar, and it's unfortunate there's 12 teams in the Western Conference because decision day is not really decision day for one team, and that's Real Salt Lake. They lost to Portland yesterday, their last game of the season, and with that loss, finds themselves at 49 points, only 1 point in front of the Galaxy in seventh. Vancouver at 8 is officially eliminated from the playoffs. The Galaxy, if they do win next week, they're in. So you win and you're in for Zlatan and company. And next week, the Galaxy are facing Houston in LA. So, Galaxy making the playoffs?
Certainly, if you're RSL, and I'm just looking at the win total, RSL does have the advantage on wins, so they do need a win out right here. It's unfortunate for RSL that it works out this way, and it's unfortunate that you have an uneven amount of teams that you have to have a team not playing in the final week, but it is the reality, and it's especially unfortunate for MLS because they really like to play up the playoff battles, and one of the teams is missing in this particular one.
It's the reality for Real Salt Lake.
Yeah. I think the Galaxy will probably should, if they don't get, you know, so put it this way, if they don't get a win in Houston, they are in LA against Houston, they don't deserve to go to the playoffs, right? It's just, you know, results don't lie. But yeah, RSL's got to be sitting there nervous. I mean, I don't know how you do that if you're an RSL player. Do you just go out for a jog and see what happens? Can you imagine training in RSL? It's freezing cold there right now in Sandy. You're out there training as if your season's going to continue midweek. Now, the other thing I will say about this, though, is normally the sixth place team has a real difficult time turning around in less than a week to go on the road to win a game. At least if RSL does squeak in, if Galaxy draw or lose, then they will have had a full week's rest and they will go in with a better chance against either LAFC or Dallas, depending on how or Seattle, I suppose, could actually get to second or two. It's pretty tight at the top. That's where the interest might lie. And for the record, we will really break down the playoff race at the end of this week. And if you're a TFC fan looking for a breakdown of TFC's performance against the Impact, keep waiting because no one cares.
No one cares. Well,
yeah, we will break down the entire season next week before the playoffs get in, but don't worry about that. Anyway.
Speaking of TFC, Dwayne, okay, go ahead, finish on what you were saying.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the West is pretty tight, and we'll see how it goes because you still have, you know, a team like, well, hell, I'm just yeah, I mean, Seattle could actually win the West still. It's
LAFC quite a bit going on win. There. LAFC can win the West. Sporting Kansas City could win the West.
Yeah, I think SKC's got the upper deck, but or upper hand right now with 17 wins. Really, there's a lot going on in the West, yes. But in terms of the LARSL, yeah, LA's got to be the favorite in that one for sure. And, you know, you're playing out the string below that if you're Houston. And it's tough. Like, I watched it. Here's the one TFC evaluation we'll give this. One thing that happens when you're out, you'd like to say, oh, we're going to play with pride. We want to be spoilers. It's so hard for these guys because they just, like, they're from all over the world, right? And they're thinking about, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll go to the Caribbean for 2 weeks. Maybe I'll do that. Like, it's
I don't want to be injured. Like, should I slide tackle here in case I twist my ankle so my off season is actually not really that fun? Maybe not.
Yeah, and they're sick of each other too. Like, I watched that TFC Impact game, and I watched Jovinko for a good 20-minute stretch at one point, just to watch his body language, and it was terrible. Like, his hands, his head was down. He's shrugging. He was yelling at players. That's Jovinko, but you can imagine the same thing happening with
that's
anyone,
the Italian
right?
blood.
Sick of each other.
You don't see my hands right now, Dwayne, but I'm doing the Italian movement, you know?
Yeah, and that was that was all game, and what are you doing? What are you doing? Like,
come on!
And that's just, exactly. They're just sick of each other, and they need the break from each other right now. And again, interesting poll I put up on my Twitter account. If you want to look at that, and what TFC fans are thinking TFC should do about Jovinko, and it's not the results you'd expect. At any rate,
I guess the fans are sick of him too after this season, so they need a break for him to come back.
Yeah, quickly. It's a 60-40 right now. Basically, 60% of TFC fans think that either they should just let him play out the contract, which runs out at the end of next year, or they should just sell him now. And it's about 40% say just sell him now. And there's only less than 10%. It was like 6% the last I looked that want TFC to like do whatever they have to do to re-sign him. So that, you know, if you would ask this 2 years ago or even at the end of the MLS Cup last year, I bet that the results would have been reversed, right? So you see.
And
so that's, you know.
To finish on Toronto, they have a chance now to play spoilers again. If Atlanta wins, Atlanta beats Toronto's FC's record of the amount of points in the season. If Toronto wins, Toronto remains with the record from last year. But noticing what you just mentioned.
If Atlanta wins?
When Atlanta wins. Okay.
TFC can't defend right now. They just can't. They have allowed their second most, or I think it's the second most goals they've ever allowed in their history. Now, part of that's because they didn't play 34 games early on, but still, it's ridiculous how bad they defend right now, and that is the difference between this team, because they actually got scoring, and after they started to get a little bit healthy, they started to score more, but they can't defend. We see it firsthand, and that was the same problem they had in 2015, and I can't see any chance that they're going to slow Atlanta down, because Atlanta's still playing for the Shield, so not only is TFC's record going to fall, I suspect that we're going to watch a team win the Supporters' Shield in front of them on Saturday. So there you go.
Like winning the Shield in Toronto.
It's hard to be too bitter about it, honestly, because, I mean, flags fly forever, really. It's like 12 months ago that we won everything. Jesus, I haven't done that in a while. TFC
what did you
won
do?
Everything.
Where,
so,
what position did you play in MLS Cup Final, Dwayne?
Yeah, exactly. One. Cold. I played the cold. cold front row, screaming. Yeah. No. It's hard to be too bitter about it if you're a TFC fan. I guess if, you know, the questions are going to start to be answered, and we will have a critical evaluation of the season moving forward. Like, should Greg Vanney just get an automatic pass on the year because of the injuries? Should Bill Manning, should Bezbachenko, should they all? Like, I mean, an evaluation has to happen. Should they be rebuilding now? Should they be reloading? But at any rate, and the same thing for Vancouver's answered those questions. That's why we're not really talking about them right now. They
Vancouver
are
will rebuild. Vancouver's got some money to spend, and we'll see it happen. To finish the show, Dwayne, one of your predictions, unfortunately, will not become true because of Orlando's win yesterday. The San Jose Earthquakes are the 2018 Wooden Spoon in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I'm still pretty happy with my prediction of Orlando to be near the bottom. But speaking of rebuilds, we talked to Jeff Carlisle about that, and this is a team that really needs some direction. And with the coaching hire down there, then hopefully they can turn that around. It's a 96 market, so there you go. They're going to have first pick in the super draft. I guess that's something.
I guess.
Definitely something.
We'll see. Go ahead.
Yeah. We were joking on one of the TFC channel discussion areas, like a Slack group the other day. It's like, we're back to debating looking at the NCAA and seeing what kind of draft pick we might get out of this. This feels comfortable. It's like old times. Like the black humor is fine. Anyway.
Yeah, it's fine. Everything's fine while the room is burning.
It's like the teacup with the dog,
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was... It's tough to reference a mean in just text and just lyrics, but yes, we did. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute and myself at Kev Larme. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of The World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. We'll talk about their Premier League results tomorrow. Cracker of a game Saturday morning, 2-2 Manchester United-Chelsea. We'll talk about it tomorrow, and Burnley has been burned. Manchester City burned Burnley. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Take a look at the league table.
and more news as well. As always, until next time, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.